All right, so our speaker this evening is Jeff, and he's going to be speaking on step five. And I guess you're okay to be recorded because I started. I could stop it though.
No, I am.
Take it away.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jeff, and I am an ACA in recovery and glad to be here, here at my home group. Thank you, Lonnie, for stepping in, and thank you, group, for being here. I'm going to do a little feelings check-in. This is what we used to do at my home group meeting in New York when I was there in the late 80s. So I feel nervous and I feel warm and I feel excitement and I feel a little rebellious, a little pissy. I introduced myself. I'm an ACA. I grew up in alcoholism, with an alcoholic father who died of alcoholism and a para-alcoholic mom who is still alive and doing pretty well at 85. We used to say this in our. We used to do affirmations at meetings too. And so one of them was, I'm a child of God and I deserve love, peace, prosperity, and serenity. And it reminded me that I heard a recording of Don Pritz, who was, some say, was the precursor to BBA. And he was Mark H's sponsor. And he talked about that the Big Book is a book written for children. And I start to feel that, really feel that more and more each time I read it, each time I go through the steps, is that it speaks to a part of me that's kind of that lost child that wants to be found, wants to be recovered. And so the word recovery is starting to have a new meaning for me. It's to recover some of those, for me, some of those banished parts of myself. And it's interesting too, because I, some of you know that I'm an actor, and that's part of my story. And I share that not to be in poor taste, but because it's so instrumental as to my story, my past. And I feel like in the being a young adult in the entertainment business gave me a lot of cover, because it was kind of this dog eat dog place to be living. And I got a lot of support and a lot of agreement from my fellows, because it is a thorny business, but it was a perfect setting for me to feel unsafe and to recreate some of my childhood stuff. So I'm going to talk about step five, but I just wanted to mention, for me, from my perspective, I come from an Al-Anon perspective, a CODA perspective. I've done the BBA on chaos creating, controlling, fixing three full times. I'm currently in AVERT. It's not BBA, but it's a Stones workshop, which is really BBA in its essence, which is to is inquiry, is looking at these pages of the Big Book and turning statements into questions. And that's been useful for me. And I'm going to do that a little bit with step five. So what has come from all of this work for me is that my main problem is trying to keep myself safe. Yeah, I'm gonna stumble a little bit, but that's what it's going to be like tonight. So my main if my main problem is trying to keep myself safe, and that hasn't worked, this is what I've used this process to treat. Frankly, it used to be. Over the years, I've treated different facets of my condition, as we'll see in step five, it's trying to ask to get to the nature of the problem. And that's the best way I know how to describe it for myself. So I'm going to read from the text, starting on page 72. Having made my personal inventory, what shall we do about it? Am I trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with my creator to discover the obstacles in my path? Have I admitted certain defects and ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is? We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. So it talks about admitting certain defects. And so things like, for me, like isolating and people pleasing and addiction to excitement and adrenaline and this kind of victim mentality, like these were the defects or the traits that I felt like I was able to put my finger on in some of these things. But this is asking me to go further. So this brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. Do I think I've done well enough in admitting these things to myself? There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first: if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking or chaos creating or whatever, fill in the blank for yourself. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they've turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. So that's pretty interesting. In the various fellowships that I've been part of over the years, some people talked about writing a life story, writing your life story out and sharing it. And some people did that. And for me, I feel like this means something slightly different in that things that come up while I'm discussing the fourth step with another person, things that come up that seem maybe tangential or maybe not important, or maybe it goes off script a little bit. I think this is what this means to me, that I tell everything that is coming up for me as a result of writing this inventory. I have found both on either side of the fifth step, either telling it or listening to it, that these are the things that really led me somewhere important, both as listener and as speaker. And I feel like it's crucial, that part is crucial to have the space for. More than most people, the chaos creator leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. So this is basically the thing that is going to be the third column from the resentment inventory, is that there's a character that I have created, and some of us on this call have had experience with this, that I've created this false self to keep myself safe. And I need for that to be the character that I play mostly in the world. When it says here, he wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. I would rephrase that. For me, it's he wants to enjoy it. Enjoy himself, but in his heart, he knows that this is not really him. This is not his authentic self. That piece is lost somewhere. And this, I feel like this process is a process of recovering it. I mean, there's so much in this text, in the fifth step text, which for me into action part, because I'm so geared toward finding fault with myself and others, I can turn this into an exercise in shaming and blaming myself and, you know, holding myself accountable or these kinds of things. I'm not interested in that anymore. I don't use this program for that. So the inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself, hoping they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking. This is the definition of the adult child of an alcoholic. Under constant fear and tension of being seen, their real self being seen. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us. We have spent thousands of dollars for examinations. We know but few instances where we have given these doctors a fair break. We have seldom told them the whole truth, nor have we followed their advice. Unwilling to be honest with these sympathetic men, we were honest with no one else. So the thing about the honesty is, and it's interesting because some of us here have done the Stones workshop with Mike McKenzie, and this has been a real game changer for me, is that some people would call him and say, you know, I want to end it all. I want to kill myself. And he reassures them that they would be killing the wrong person if they did that. For me, what I've learned is the character that I created as a result of growing up alcoholism to protect myself is not really me, and that's the problem one. Like I said, this Don Pritz talks about how this book is written for children, and for me that's the. That child part of myself is the part that I'm trying to connect with, trying to recover and reclaim. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. This is the hard part. This is really the hard part, because the traits that I developed in growing up alcoholism, fear of authority figures, fear of people, frankly, and personal criticism, means that I'm set up not to trust anybody. I just want to go back to that. He pushes these memories far inside himself, hoping they will never see the light of day. It's so interesting that the thing that I'm mostly afraid of is what recovery is about, about reconnecting with. I never knew that. I never knew that until recently. Rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take this intimate, confidential step. Those of us belonging to a religious denomination which requires confession must, and of course, will want to go to the properly anointed authority whose duty it is to receive it. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with somebody ordained by an established religion. We often find such a person quick to see and understand our problem. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand us. If we cannot or would rather not do this, we search our acquaintance for a closed mouth, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person. It may be one of our own family, but we cannot disclose anything to our wives or parents which will hurt them and make them unhappy. We have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand yet be unaffected. I think that's the most important thing, is that I'm going to get real. I'm going to really, really tell what happened. And sometimes things are going to come up that are really painful and really shameful to talk about. And I need somebody that's going to be there who is understanding and will be unaffected. This has been really key for me, very key for me. The rule is, I've changed this. It says the rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. I've changed this to the rule is we must be gentle with ourselves and considerate of others. Notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, it may be one is so situated that there's no suitable person available. If that is so, the step may be postponed. Only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity. It's a gift. It really is a gift. But if I'm honest, I shared fifth steps with people who didn't understand where I was coming from and who couldn't remain unaffected to the degree where there could be a conversation where things could come up. And that, coming back to the telling all of our life story, things that seemed tangential but came up as a result of God being involved in the conversation. And so I think we say this because we are very anxious that we talk to the right person. It says it there in black and white. It's important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we are driving at, that he will not try to change our plan. So it's a great, since I've been using this too for listening to Fifth Steps, it's been marvelous. It's truly been miraculous. But we must not use this as a mere excuse to postpone. those of us in the ACA variety, I'll speak for myself. I don't postpone. I get an A on my paper. You know, I don't postpone. It's probably the other way where I come before I'm ready, perhaps. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We've written an inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the chaos-creating problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. So this is... I should say the reason I chose this part, and I have 30 seconds, is that for me, the whole book, each section of the book says the same thing over and over again. It says that that I need to connect with others, so that I can heal from these things, that I can't be here by myself in my bubble trying to heal myself. It says that that with God and with the fellowship and with this process, that I can walk and walk hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And that's been my experience, and I'm starting to connect with this person that I feel God created. So I want to thank you, and I also want to encourage people when they share to do the feelings check-in if you feel so inclined. Thanks.